Hello and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. Delighted to say this week's guest is former Peterhead midfielder Keith Gibson. Keith was a huge part in the club's first promotion back in 2005, and we're delighted to have him on the show.
Okay, this week joining us on the podcast is a former Peterhead player who was part of the 2005 promotion winning side and played over 80 games for the club as well. That's Keith Gibson. Keith, welcome along. Thanks for coming on to the podcast.
No, thanks for having me.
So how are things then? Are you doing well?
Yeah, fine. Probably a bit strange just now in the fact that my Saturdays are free. Obviously left Elgin at the end of September. So I've not been doing anything since coach at Stevie Campbell's academy 3 nights a week on a Saturday morning, but it's quite strange at 3 o'clock on a Saturday that I'm not involved in some capacity.
Have you been missing it then, eh?
Yeah, I have. When my wife's dragging us around furniture shops and things like that at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, that's when you do miss it. But I think just now my kind of work life balance is quite good. It is probably the first time I've had a sort of free Saturday to myself. You know, I've been going up to Densmore with my son to watch Dundee play. I've been going to some junior games, watching Jeff and the boys, as a lot of people do as well. So, yeah, hopefully get back in that at some point. But just now, it's quite good with having a wee bit of time to myself.
Before we sort of start into it, then we've got to ask about one of your former clubs, Arbroath, the season they're having. Just an absolutely phenomenal story, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I was absolutely gutted on Friday when Kilmarnock scored that winner, because even if they got a draw, I think it would have been quite tasty going into the last game of the season. But credit to Arbroath, you know, for taking it to two games to go, especially against a team like Kilmarnock with the budget they've got and the players that they've got, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. And you know, I've played under Dick before, and it doesn't surprise me how well they're doing.
You still keep in touch with some of the guys there?
Yeah, keep in touch with Gavin Swankey, Bobby Lynn, who obviously used to play with Peterhead as well. He's the next teammate there. Keep in touch with a few of the guys and some of the board members as well. Some of the supporters had quite a good relationship with the supporters there at Arbroath, as they did at Peterhead as well. So, it's not finished yet. You know, they've still got a playoff to go, and hopefully they could go up, and I think it'll probably be a bigger fairy tale than Leicester winning the Premiership, I think.
I think so, yeah. What was it like playing under Dick then?
It was good, it was interesting. I mean, he's, you know, he was running through a brick wall for him. His man management was second to none. Just a great character. Some of the team talks were absolutely brilliant as well. But yeah, if I could sum it up, you would run through a brick wall for Dick.
Okay then, so let's start talking about you then, your footballing journey. How did it all start? What kind of age did you start playing?
I started playing at probably 10-year-old. It was, well, back then it was under-11s, it was Dundee West. It was basically thrown straight onto a big 11-a-side pitch. It's not like now, you know, it's 4, 5, 6-year-olders that are getting involved in the front fours and things. So it was Dundee West, and it was just through kind of, I think, a flyer went into the school, and we just started playing from there.
Was that your sort of earliest memories of football, or did you watch before that?
Probably earliest memories of playing was probably that. You know, we'd have a kick about up at Adler Multis in Dundee that was brought up, and we had a wee two-touch pitch there, but sort of organised football, that's the earliest memories, was Dundee West.
And did you play for your school team as well, or was that the...
Yeah, school team, Adler Primary School, league winners at Adler Primary School. I think we were the first team to do that for the school. So, but a lot of the boys I went to primary school with, we're still friends now, and we keep in touch as well.
And what kind of player were you then? What kind of positions did you play?
I was actually a centre-half, or I was a sweeper, as they called it back then. You know, just sitting behind the centre-half and just kind of swept up play. I wasn't probably until, I think maybe 14, 15, I moved into sort of centre midfield where I played for the rest of my career.
And at that time, did you have any sort of boyhood heroes? Did you like watching anybody in particular?
I absolutely the first World Cup I could remember was the Italian 90. So obviously, watching that, some great players: Lothar Matthäus, Paul Gascoigne, Georgie Hadji, for Romania, all these top players. So that was my kind of first memory. I absolutely loved Italia 90. Yeah. I could remember watching the opening game when Cameroon beat Argentina at the San Siro. So I think that's what kind of got me hooked on football as well, was that World Cup.
I think that's still one of my favourite World Cups, if not my favourite, I think.
Just that was a bit of a letdown, but the whole tournament was excellent.
And thanks to that final being so poor that we got the passport rule 2 years later, didn't we?
I was trying to explain that to my oldest son yesterday. I was like, you want to pass the ball back? He was like, he just couldn't get his head around it.
I know, there's a whole generation that doesn't know what a passport is.
Change plays.
Ah, it's a weird thing. So, I was going to say, you go through your youth sort of spells and that, and then you joined Dundee, I think it was about 99, was it? You signed?
It was 99, but I think leading up to that, I was with Rangers for about a year and a half. I went through and trained at just at AstroTurf beside Ibrox. Went through on a Sunday to play games as well. I actually done my work experience with school at Rangers, which was an amazing experience. I actually stayed with Davy Moyes, his mum and dad, who had done the digs for the players there. And I got to train with the first team one day, so I was training with like your Gazzers, Loudrups, McCoys. So that was a great experience, but unfortunately never got offered a contract there. And that's when I went into Dundee, and my coaches there was Stevie Campbell, that took the under-16s. And fortunately, I was offered the full-time contract, and I went there when I was 17, I think,
Was Gaza still the same Gaza as he was 6, 7 years ago?
Just standing there and all, just like, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I got to go up and just train with him for one of the days.
So how did the move to Dundee come about then?
I never got offered a contract at Rangers. So I was then back to sort of playing boys' club. Went to play for Dundee Sporting, and then the Dundee scout Jim Carlin got me in training with Dundee, and it was actually Stevie Campbell that was the coach at the time, who a coach at Stevie's academy, and a top coach, Stevie. And then it went from there, and there was about, I think, maybe 8 or 9 of us that got offered full time contracts at that point. So I was obviously delighted, because at school I didn't really know what I was wanting to do, and this opportunity came up, and it was just absolutely brilliant to be able to do that.
It was an interesting period at Dundee City at that time, with the Italian influence and things like that.
Well, my first 2 years, it was Jockey Scott was the manager, so it's the year that they got won the first division, and they got promoted into the Premier League, and it's when the two new stands got built at then, so... It was 2 years with Jockey, which was really, really good. It was Jimmy Bowden's assistant. Ray Farningham was the youth coach. We had a really good youth team. We got to the Youth Cup final against Celtic. Players that were in the youth team at that time, you know, Jamie Langfield, Derek Souter, Lee Wilkie, Dave Mackay, that obviously went and had a great career with St Johnson's, a coach at Dundee now. Stephen Mullen, who went and played in the first team at Dundee. So we had a really good... sort of youth set up there and players that were coming through at the time.
Did you recognise these guys were going to be talents? Did they stand out?
Yeah, they did. But at the time when you're involved in it, you're just kind of focused on yourself, focused on the team, and you just want to try and go and win games of football and do as well as you can. But again, obviously, when the Benettis came in, I felt personally that I was doing quite well, and I was involved in sort of pre-season squads and that when Jockey was there his last season. But then when the Benettis came in, I think that conveyor belt kind of, I wouldn't say stopped, but the amount of players that were coming through wasn't as much, because they obviously brought in all their own players. There was even some Italian youth players that they brought in as well. But don't get me wrong, there was some great football that Dundee played at that time. And you were getting to train at the time as well against the likes of Caniggias and your Nimzadzes and all these top players.
Did you find that the culture of the club was changing, or maybe changed too much?
I think it was frustrating at times, especially for Ray Farningham at the time, who took the under-21s, because we would have, you played your under-21 games on a Monday night, and you'd go in and do a bit of shape on the Monday morning, so he would set up his team, and then about 2 hours before kick-off, the Benettis would come and say, I want so-and-so playing tonight, or I want so-and-so playing tonight. So that was all out the window. Yeah. So I think that was probably a bit frustrating, especially for the coaches. But I think it did stop some players progressing when they could have. And I'm not making excuses that, you know, I eventually got released. It wasn't because of that. But I think, you know, if Jockey was still there, he was definitely get more of giving the youth a chance.
Did you enjoy though playing or training with the guys that you mentioned, like Canigia, Caballero, and that?
Well, it never happened. Lots it would tend to happen on a Thursday where sort of the youth team and under 21s would go and shape up again. So, you know, for example, if they were playing St Johnston on a Saturday, St Johnston played a 3-5-2. We would go and play in a 3-5-2. Against the first team, and they would stop the game and just work through a bit of shape. But yeah, it was definitely a good experience playing against all these types of players.
Was you ever near to getting a first team game then, do you think?
Nah, I mean, I played a couple of friendlies under Jockey, pre-season friendlies, but I never played any competitive first team games. Probably got the most appearances for under 18 reserves and under 21 games, but I just... Unfortunately, when the Benettis came in, it never happened. And that's when, my fourth year at Dundee, which was my final year, that's when I went out to East Fife on loan.
Yeah, I was going to say, cause I think you must have been about, 2021 at that time, so yeah, you obviously been dying to get first team football.
Yeah, and previous to that, Lee Mayer and Gavin Beath had been out on loan at East Fife, I think, the season previous to that. Johnny Thompson, no, he was here with me. And, you know, they had a great experience. And that probably kick-started my career. You know, after that, I always played part-time. But I think that kind of kick-started my career again. You're getting out, playing on a Saturday, playing competitive for a win bonus. Because you could play in as much under-18s and under-21 games as you want. But it's not until you go and, you know, play the real competitive football that you do start gaining experience.
So whose decision was it then to go in loan? Was that yours, or was that a conversation you and the club?
I was in conversation with Ray Farlingham, Stevie Campbell as well. They felt that, you know, it'd be good for me to go out and go and get a season under my belt at that level. Division 3 at the time, it was obviously called as League 2 now. So yeah, it was great. I think I played about 30 games then. I was getting to that point that am I going to get a new contract or not? So I think there was maybe another six to eight under 21 games left, and I felt I had to get back to just go and play in these games to show them what I've got, you know, after, because I felt it was quite a successful loan spell. So I played about 30 games, scored 3 goals. I really, really enjoyed it. It was really good.
Do you remember your debut, your competitive debut, I guess, as a first team player?
Yep, I was probably the most boring game ever. I was at home and they drew 0-0. And Dave Clark, the East Fife manager, he was an absolute nutter. I remember him coming in at half time and just going absolutely mental, tearing the kind of the paint off the walls with how loud he was shouting. But it was a bit of a non-event, to be honest. It was 0-0. But it was just great to get out playing, and a few of my mates had come through to watch me that day as well, so that was nice as well.
Was it a bit of a culture shock then for you?
Would you say as much culture shock? You know, I think the under 21 games that you played in, it wasn't played at the same intensity or the same pace, I would say. So, you know, it did take me a wee while to adjust to that, but it was great. You know, getting to know boys that are, you know, experienced players at that level at the time. I actually played centre mid with Ross Graham, young Ross Graham is now playing with Dundee United. Mm-hmm. Doing really well there, but I had him on loan at Elgin actually when we were young, Ross. But I played with his dad, centre mid. He was actually a striker, but he dropped back into centre mid. He'd done all the dirty work, and I'd kind of got on the ball and tried to play the passes.
You mentioned you got 3 goals, I think you said there. So obviously, your first career goal as well, what happened to East Fife? And I think you got 2 in the 1 game as well.
And it was actually at Hampden, a 2-1 win. It was just surreal. I can remember the first one, I've just got the ball and from about 25 yards and it's went in the top corner, and the second one took a quick throw in and the striker laid back into the second striker, then I've just finished it across, but it was just absolutely brilliant, and that'll stick in my memory forever. I actually tried to, I think one of the bad things was that, like, now you get all the coverage of games and highlights and things like that. Back then we had absolutely nothing, so I tried to get in touch with Queen's Park to see if they'd videoed that game back then, but I've not had any joy
Is that one of them stories that it starts off as 10 yards out and then as a year
and goes on, it becomes 30 yards, 40 yeah. yards? Yeah, no, it generally was. Obviously, no got any proof of that.
Was you ever close to getting your hat trick then? Was you dying to get a claim for every penalty or anything like that?
No, I think we're just desperate to win the game because we were a bit, it was a bit stop start for us that season. We used to five, you know, it was hard to get a bit of consistent sort of string of results. So it was just to try and go and get that win. But it was just obviously delighted to get the win for the team and then score the two goals. And I could always say I've scored two goals at Hampden.
Yeah, many people can say that anyway. So you mentioned you've got a week 30 games. So was it good for you on a personal level then that you managed to get so much game time, so much games in that season?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And I think that led to, obviously when I got released from Dundee, there was a few teams that had seen me playing. And that's when I'd moved to Montrose after the release from Dundee. So it was John Sheeran that was a manager. He was on the phone when he found out I was released from Dundee. Invited me up to Lynx Park to have a look around, wanting to let me know the way he wanted to play. And that's where I signed after I was released from Dundee.
So it was like a good exercise. You're almost like putting yourself in the shop window, really.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, I think it was a really good grounding at Dundee, especially having coaches like Ray Farningham and Stevie Campbell. And at that time as well, your first 2 years, you were doing the jobs. So it was, you know, you had to make sure you had your players' boots to do. You weren't allowed to leave until the change rooms were spotless. And that was their kind of mentality. It was like, if you're slack off the park, you're slack on the park. So I'll be forever grateful for Ray and Stevie for that kind of grounding that I did get at Dundee for the 4 years.
And at what point was you told that your Dundee time was up then?
I think it was. It's that horrible thing where you're all sitting in the change rooms getting pulled in one by one. And I remember at the time it was the director of football at the time that pulled me in and just said that the contract wouldn't be renewed. And it was absolutely gutting because you're thinking, right, what's happening with my life now? So. It was hard to take on the chin because I had some great memories at Dundee as well, some really funny times, some great stories, probably kind of soon here. but you know, very grateful for my time there. I loved it. It was great. And that season at East Fife probably was the best thing that happened for me as well, to get out to play these games. And I'd probably say to any young player, go and get out on loan if you can.
Yeah, it's a good, as you said, it's a good grounding base for you just to get, even just get the game time. And if not, you know, get signed on by the club that you're at, but you might get catch the eye of somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that's what happened, obviously, when Montrose came in for me. But again, it was then, what do you need to do? You need to go and get a job. So after I just signed for Montrose, I actually got a job in the Tesco warehouse in Dundee, but it was night shift, and it was So I got a Monday night and a Tuesday night off, so it was Wednesday, Sunday night shift. So I went from full-time football to now I'm starting work at 10 o'clock at night, finishing at 6 in the morning, and that was the weekends as well. So, you know, I was working a Friday night at 10, finishing 6 in the morning and then going playing for Montrose and then back into work the Saturday night at 10 o'clock. So, you know, at times I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing here? But I was earning money and that's what it was all about. My manager was okay in Tesco. If we played Gretna, he would let me finish at 2 in the morning. six in the morning. But I think that definitely affected my sort of early career at Montrose, that, you know, because of that night shift, I wasn't playing at my full potential, and it did definitely affect me. So, and then I'd done that for about a year and a half. But again, being at Montrose, I was playing every week, which was great, and a lot of experienced players in there. There was Ray McKinnon, Grant Johnston, you had Frank Conway, who was a really good centre half that was there, and John McQuillan, right back, Gary McGuinn in the goal. So it was a lot of good experienced players in there and definitely helped me in my time at Montrose as well.
Had you had any other offers prior to signing for Montrose?
I actually went and trained at St Mirren for a few days with a view to try and stay on kind of full time, but when Montrose phoned, I wouldn't say I was desperate just to get involved, but I really liked what John Sheeran had to say. He spoke really well. He'd obviously knew about me and spoke to me about where he seen me playing for the team, and it was probably a natural thing to do, was to go and sign there. So I'm not too sure if there was really anybody else that was in, and it was quite funny. It was back in the days where it was the old landline, not a phone call. I know, has anybody even got landlines nowadays? But it was like a phone call to my house, and it was like, can you come up on Saturday to meet? It was Davey Larter that actually picked me up on the way up from Edinburgh. So it was just natural to go and do that and get back playing.
There's just two games I particularly want to mention in your first season. I think it was when you were at Montrose. A certain 4-2 game up at Ballinmuir when you scored two goals.
I just can't really remember that, to be honest. we got beat 4-2.
Yeah, aye, that's it. Aye. But you scored two, though.
Yeah, I think that's potentially maybe how the move to Peterhead came about as well, because I always seemed to do quite well against Peterhead when we played against them. Was that near the end of the season, that game, the 4-2 game?
It was roughly about a third.
Yeah, I think I can't remember what the goals were like, but I could vaguely remember that.
It was about 25 yards out there.
Well, nobody's seen it, so I'll probably 30 yards.
The other one as well I want to mention is a 5-4 against East Dillingshire.
Yeah, I think I scored the header that game. Defence is on top that day.
Yeah, that's what I say. It must have been a good game for the neutral.
Aye, 4. It's probably another team that I always done well against and scored a few goals against as well, was East Stirling. But it was great, as I say, going and playing competitive football. You know, John Sheeran putting a trust in me. I was only 21 at the time, and I think I played the majority of the games that season as well. But probably the goal that stuck out for me that season was a Forfarshire Cup final against Dundee United. Alan Combe was in the goal for Dundee United that day, and I remember the ball just coming over my right shoulder, bouncing, and I hit a volley from about 20 yards right into the top corner, and we've eventually won the game 2-0. Ralph Brand scored the goal, but that's probably, it's probably one of the best goals I've scored in my career.
You didn't score top ends, did you?
Some.
I'm sensing a pattern here, 20 yards, 25 yards.
I'm not speaking about the tap ends, but that's one that really, and I was against Dundee United as well, so that was quite nice.
Was it the 2 years at Montrose, were they good 2 years then?
They were, and I think once I got out of my job at Tesco, I think that's when I really started to step up and play a bit better, because I think it definitely did affect me, having that night shift for the year and a half. And again, I think that's how the move to Peterhead came about as well. But it probably helped as well, because I worked with Sean McSkimmon. It was a place called Kick It, Kick Off. It was off-site education in Dundee, and Sean worked there. And Sean had a big part in that as well, getting me up to Peterhead too. And I felt it was probably the right time to move to Peterhead when it did happen. I actually signed a pre-contract to sign for, I think it was the 2004-2005 season.
Yeah.
But I think Montrose had said they won X amount of money for me, and it was actually the Peterhead Supporters Club that funded that, which was really nice.
So I say, because obviously Sean must have been whispering in your ear, so obviously the potential for a move to Peterhead must have been sort of early on, was it?
Yeah, I think it was just because then if you were under contract in the January, you'd be able to speak to clubs. No, it certainly wasn't something that I was pushing for, but you know, Sean was kind of sounding me out, and there was probably a big Dundee connection at that time up there. You know, you had Paul Mathers, Robbie Rayside, Kieran McGuinness was up there as well. I think Kieran was up there for a bit. Kieran was on the youth team and under-21s with myself as well. Obviously, Alan Youngson, Dougie Cameron, Chris Brash was there as well. So there was that big Dundee connection. So you know, when it was kind of whispers that, you know, they want to sign me for the next season, I was really keen to do that.
And had you spoken to Ian Stewart or Paul prior to signing that?
Yeah, I'd went and met Paul at his house. I don't know if it was to do the pre-contract or if it was just to get things tied up, but again, speaking to Paul and Stewart, he just really, really two great guys, very knowledgeable about football, knew the way they wanted to play. Training was excellent, and you know, it was a great move for me to move to Peterhead.
And what was their expectations, you know, for that coming season?
So again, it was promotion, but winning the league and promotion. Obviously, try to win the league first and foremost, but at that point, obviously, the top two got automatic promotion, so that was very much what they were looking for.
And it was obviously that was the goal that was achieved then. And but take you back to the first game, you got a goal on your debut in the Challenge Cup.
But was that the start of the?
That was the start of the season against Arbroath.
I think it was 40
yards
out.
Yeah. No, not maybe a header. But I think my matchstroke debut for Peterhead was the season before. I think it was in maybe the March time against Stranraer away.
Okay, aye.
But I think and then I scored against Cowdenbeath, so that was my first goal. So, you know, because I was just checking on soccer base there. I thought better do a wee bit of research. It was a long time ago. Yeah, I remember the start of that season. We beat Arbroath. Was it 4-2 down there?
4-2, yeah. Bovich got two.
Out and out goal scorer.
Yeah. How good was he?
Brilliant. And I think that was kind of the trend at Peterhead, was that we had a solid defence and we knew we had players in the team that could score. Obviously, MJ and Bav, when it first came in, two absolutely brilliant strikers. MJ's movement was different class, and obviously Bav was that more sort of powerful, really strong runner, getting in behind teams as well. So, two good strikers to play with as well.
Was there a sense that, you know, promotion was always on the cards during that season?
Obviously, Gretna were spending ridiculous money at the time. But I just really felt with the back four that we had, and obviously Paul Mathers in the goal, phenomenal goalkeeper. Even I don't know what age Paul was at that time, but he just felt we weren't going to concede many goals, and we had players on the team that could go and score goals. So you were really confident going into every game that you played in. I think it was Goody at left back, Tolls at right back, Mark Perry and Robbie Ray side centre halves, and it was just a really solid back four. And obviously Paul, was some of the saves he pulled off was unbelievable.
There was a point, I think it was in about the January, that we beat Gretna 4-2, and was there a belief there that maybe actually the title could be in our hands?
I think the party line was always to say that, take one game at a time, that's what you've got to say. But I think there was a belief. It was always going to be difficult competing against Gretna with the budget that they had. But I think we pushed them all the way. I think it was really disappointing when we went down there at the end of the season and we got beat. It was a 5-1 or something like that near the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But I really do think that we pushed them all the way.
We've asked this a couple of guys in that team. Had it not been for Gretna, we probably would have run away with that league that season.
I think we definitely would have. I don't know what the way the league finished, but take them out of it, I think the team behind us was a fair few points behind. And I remember when we clinched our promotion, it was Elgin away, 2-2 or 1-1. And I just remember coming back on the bus, and it was brilliant. The beers were out, and we ended up going into Aberdeen, having a night out there. And I think it was Robbie that was driving. He was a designated driver that night, because we had a people carrier that came up from Dundee, and Tolls and Hagee were in that as well. And it was absolutely brilliant.
Was it a bigger an achievement for you guys as it was for us as fans? Because obviously we'd only been in the league for five seasons, and here's us getting promotion to the third tier. Yeah, did you buy into that as well?
I think as a player, you know, any promotion or league title you could get, you've got to cherish it, because it certainly can be few and far between. I mean, I've had one league win, lucky enough with Arbroath, and one promotion, but I've also had a relegation as well, which isn't nice. But I think as well, we spoke about having a solid back four and a front two, but the team spirit as well was unbelievable. I think Keith Robertson, I think he was speaking about, he felt there was a bit of a divide, but certainly when I went in, it certainly wasn't that. And what helped was the away journey. So, you'd get a good win, and then the board would be on with the beers on the bus, and you know, they'd make you get up and sing the karaoke on at the front of the bus for the video and that. They'd got off at the Swallow Hotel in Dundee absolutely steaming. But again, that was part and parcel of it. It was, you know, it was a part-time club. The boys were working all week. You know, you went and won a game of football and it was, you know, you could have a few beers on the bus, but you were allowed to drink anything apart from alcohol pops. The board that, I think it was Dan Smith, he was the worst. He was always wanting to get on the hooch or the boy or whatever it was. But the club were really good like that. You know, you were well looked after, and that was one of the things that when it did sing for Peterhead, they were probably a club way ahead of their years in terms of the way that, you know, they looked after the players. You know, the food you got up the stairs after the games, you know, you always looked forward to going up to Point Peterhead because you got an absolute three-course meal after the games. But I think the hospitality side of things and that as well, they were sort of years ahead of other clubs, certainly at that time.
Was that the best dressing room you've been involved with then, Jake?
Probably one of the best. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in a lot of good dressing rooms, and not playing in too many teams, you know, to say bad eggs. I've probably been lucky enough not to be in any changing rooms with bad eggs, but I was really good. And I wouldn't like to say it's a drink culture because it wasn't. It was a few beers after games, and at times we'd maybe meet on a Sunday as well. The boys from Aberdeen had come down to Dundee as well and would have a bevy down there, and it was definitely good for team spirit. But in terms of the training as well at Peterhead, it's probably the fittest I've ever been as a player. And, you know, all the ex-players that I played with are probably laughing to say it. You dreaded every Tuesday because you got three minutes to start with, and it was an absolute pummel. And Paul and Stuart were very big on that as the sort of the fitness side of things as well. But I felt we were probably the fittest team in the league as well, and that definitely helped.
So having completed that season then for you, then obviously your disappointment of leaving Dundee, bottom end of Division 3 really, at Montrose, although you enjoyed it, could you believe how well things had gone for you that season then?
Yes and no, because I knew what I was coming into. I'm sorry, that's my phone. I knew what I was coming into, a great club, great players. So, you know, there was expectations there for you to go and do well. No, I wasn't surprised that we got promoted because we had the players there to go and do that. But you know, having an expectation and doing it is two different things. And unfortunately enough, we were able to go and do that and get the promotion.
And the following season, obviously, up to the higher league against full time teams. Park Thistle there, Wraith was there, Montrose, they were all there.
Air
was there. So. Did you guys have to kind of manage your expectations in terms of what you were hoping to achieve, or was it just go again and try and get promotion?
No, I think as a club, you know, you get promoted in the first season. When you do get promoted, you probably want to just keep yourself and maintain yourself in that league and go and do well. But again, as the season went on, you know, it's, you know, you're beating teams like Partick Thistle, you're beating teams like Morton, Wraith Rovers, and it was just, again, what added players to that at the time. So Scott Meakey had came in from Montrose. Jamie Buchan had signed it, or was Jamie there the season before? I'm not too sure.
Jamie had been there the season before as well.
Sorry. Martin Wood had came in as well. Davey Hagan had came in. We also had some loan players in there as well. So Stuart and Paul obviously added quality to that team that enhanced the team as well. So. It was great. Some of the performances were excellent, and again, I was that having that solid base, knowing that you're not going to concede a lot of goals, but obviously with the fact that you've got players in that team as well that were more than capable of scoring goals as well.
Was that an enjoyable, I think, obviously it would have been enjoyable, but in terms of playing football, was it just so easy to play? Was it enjoyable every week?
It was great, and to play alongside Jamie Buchan, who for me is probably one of the best players I've played alongside, and he was a bit frustrating as well because he didn't break sweat. He just made things look so easy. And it was a wee bit frustrating because you felt that you could push on even more. But I'm not saying that he never played well. He'd be an 8 out of 10 every week for you. So that was good for me, playing alongside Jamie and centre mid. Great player. Very, very good player. But as were all the players, even, you know, it was a lot of competition for places in the team. And I think that helped as well. You know, cause I think, obviously, Dougie Cameron played as well, came in at left back, and Bobby Wynn came in. Phenomenal talent, Bobby. Really, really good talent, Bobby, and he's still doing it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 37 years old. And again, the team spirit was excellent.
I just mentioned one game, Scottish Cup tie against the Rangers doing at Ibrox. I know it was a 5-0 thumping, but obviously it would have been a particular highlight, even though the result obviously didn't go our way.
Yeah, I remember we beat East 5-3-0 the round before, and the draw was right after that, and we were just getting changed after the game, and one of the board members came in and said, "We've got Rangers at Ibrox." And I'm not joking, the whole changing room was just bouncing. It was like we'd won a league title. But I think, not just as players, but I think for the club as well, it was financially great for the club. I think we took about 3,000 supporters down there, didn't we? About 3,000 supporters we took down there. And to be fair, I think they scored their first goal right on half-time. Am I right in saying that?
It could have been quite early on.
It was quite early on, but then I remember it was Chris Boyd's debut and he scored the hat-trick.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've done ourselves proud that day. You know, there wasn't expectations that we were going to go there and turn Rangers over, but, you know, I might sound daft that we got beat 5-0, but I think we've done ourselves proud. And it was probably good to just get away from the pressure of the league for one game as well.
And it's an experience, obviously, you'll take with you for the rest of your days.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was great. And, you know, my friends, my wife was pregnant with my oldest son at the time. She was down at the game. So it was a great occasion for the club and for us as players.
So we ended up finishing third. And I guess finishing third probably would have been a good season overall then, had it not been for the playoffs.
Yeah, a lot of people would say we probably overachieved that season with all the full-time teams in it. But I firmly believe that we deserve to finish third. Because just looking at some of the results, you know, we beat. I think the only time Partick beat us was that second playoff final. It was the deflected free kick late on. So it was thoroughly deserved. It really was. And again, down to just everything I've spoke about, just the way the club treated you, the squad we had, the team spirit. And then we're probably going to come on to this thinking about it.
The one blip in your Peterhead career, we'll come on to that in a minute then. So going into the playoffs, did you guys believe that you could win these four games or win the two ties?
I think the belief was if we got through the semi-final, I think we had Partick's number, we're beating them through the season. And it was very cagey, the semi-final. I think 0-0 down there was the first leg away. I think
the first leg was away.
So it was a 0-0 down there, which was a good result for us. And then obviously got the 1-0 with a Dougie Cameron penalty. So after that, you're thinking, here we go. You know, we've got a great chance of getting promoted. And it would have been at the time, was it League One? No.
So that would have been what
Division
One is, League One.
So, you're thinking over two games, we can beat Partick, and I think that's what they believe. But there was another wee blip for me that my oldest son was born the morning of the first leg. So, you know, up all night, no sleep. So I had to phone Stuart and say, "Look, Stuart, I can't be involved for the first leg." It was obviously from one emotion to another, the delight of your first child being born, to I physically couldn't be involved in that game, which was a bit gutting. Probably one of the biggest games of my career and whatever else, but I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I had to be my wife and my son. But again, the boys won 2-1 away from home. Unbelievable result down there. And you're thinking, here we go, we've got this wrapped up. Now, you would never come out and say that, but you know, you're thinking that, you know, we've got something over Partick this all. But I remember the lead up to the second leg. The game was on the Sunday, but we came up on the Friday and stayed up for two nights and leading up to that just to have a bit of training, go over a bit of shape and things like that. And you've seen oh, it was like the scaffolding that was all around the stadium, and it was going to be a full house. So the, you know, the excitement was building, and I just felt that we were going to win that game, or at least get through the tie.
Before we go on to the actual game, it was obviously a big crowd. I think you started on the bench, but come on, quite early on. But what was it like? What was the atmosphere like during the game, and what was it like playing in front of that bigger crowd?
Well, we'd had it probably the week before, or the week or 2 weeks before against Morton. But again, it was just, the atmosphere was brilliant. It was amazing. And when we scored that early goal, it just lifted the crowd even more. I think Chris Hegarty got injured. That's who it came on for. And I just felt when I came on, right, I've got to make an impact here. I missed the first leg. No, I've got to go and make an impact in the game. And actually, a lot of people probably don't know this, I actually done my medial ligament not long after I came on, and I played through that and played an extra time with that as well. But we were so unlucky that game. So unlucky. I mean, they did equalise on the day quite early. And obviously, the deflected free kick, you know, was it the second minute into injury time? It's just an absolute hammer blow. But again, fair play to the boys, we dusted ourselves down. I think we hit the post twice in extra time. Right. Martin Wood hit the post, and I can't remember who else hit the post. So, well, overall, I felt we deserved to win that game, or at least come away with something out of the game.
Opinion on the free kick then, was it a free kick?
That's soft, isn't it? And that's, there is no evidence of that. But I think I think Alfie, he thinks he probably should have cleared the ball at the time, and you know, I think he said that, and we've had conversations about that, and it's ifs and buts, but it probably was a soft free kick, and they've had a huge bit of luck with the deflection.
Yeah, were you in the wall, or were you just on the outside?
I think I was in the wall, but it was just absolutely gutting. But as I say, like, no, I never hindered the boys. We went into extra time, and we're the better team in extra time as well.
Yeah, so we'll come on to the penalty shootout. Before the shootout started, had you had a discussion about potential penalties? Had you volunteered prior, or was it just a case of, right, I'll put my hand up with it?
If I remember rightly, I think it was just on the day, and I was just desperate to say, look, I'm going to take a bit of responsibility here, and I'm going to take a penalty. And again, you know, just all the emotions going through the game, and obviously my son had just been born, and I was like, I always wanted to do it for my family and things like that, and for the team. So I just put myself forward. And I can still remember it now, just walking up, you know, I'm going bottom right. And just as I ran up, changed my mind last minute, reversed it the other way, and it went past the post. Absolute disaster. It's probably the lowest point I've ever had in my football career. I mean, I've had relegations and things like that, but that is probably the lowest point in my career. And I still think about it to this day, missing that penalty. You know, I feel like you let everybody down, your teammates, you know, the management team, the board, the supporters. And it's horrible. It really is horrible. And my mate Dougie Cameron, he missed as well that day. So it's not a nice feeling, and not a nice way to go, sort of not go up.
So the schoolboy kind of error of no change in your mind, and I guess that's, it's a tough lesson, but I guess that's what everybody says.
And I think
change your mind.
And I think it's, people say you can practice for penalty shootouts as much as you want. It's a pressure that I've probably never felt before. And people will feel in penalty shootouts as well. So it's gotten. But again, we had to dust ourselves down and go again for the next season, which was hard.
Well, obviously you've missed, but then Paul Mathers has saved, I think, the very next one, and then scored his. Mm-hmm. Was there a, I wouldn't say a relief, but did you think, was there a chance we could still be in this?
And you're just standing there praying that, no, yeah, come on, Paul, pull us out of hole here. But just, it wasn't to be, and it was a guy from Dundee that scored the winning penalty, Paul Ritchie. And obviously it was horrible, horrible, and that changing room after it. It really was.
Well, you mentioned that you still think about it. Is it still tough to take?
Yeah,
all these years later.
It definitely is. It doesn't get any easier. And you know, I speak about it quite a lot, and it is, as I say, it's probably the lowest point in my career.
taking any more penalties after that?
No.
Not even one, just to try and score, just to get it out of your memory.
Nah. I mean, that's when you're playing in teams like Gavin Swanky, there's no chance of you getting anywhere near penalties. Or Stephen Doris and boys like this. So, just leave it to them to stick the ball in the net from the spot.
Was that a long summer, a difficult summer for you guys?
It wasn't, because after the drive down the road, I was right back in the hospital to see my wife and Miller, my firstborn son. So, you know, that kind of took the hurt away a wee bit. I remember bumping into my mate, Barry Britton. His son Ben was born the week after. Kerry was kept in for a week in the hospital. I remember walking down the corridor at 9 miles, limping like any, because I'd done my knee. And he's like, "So how did you just get on then?" And it's that, got beat, missed the penalty, like, just horrible. But then you go in and see your newborn, and it cheers you up.
Yeah, I guess that you shove that to the side and you focus on, I guess, what is important, because after all, it is just a game of football. Yeah. I mean, we need a feel at that time, but the reality is you've got more important things to kind of worry about.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I did hurt. But again, you know, when we got back into pre-season, there was that belief that we could go on a run like that again, because we'd done it the season previous to that.
Was it a big surprise to you and to the guys then that Ian Stewart and Paul Mathers had left by October?
I was a shock, because, I mean, I'm just trying to get up here. I don't know where we were sitting in the league when we got sacked. We were fourth, fifth, maybe?
I think the opening 12 games, I think we lost six or something like that, but won four or something silly like
that.
Yeah,
but I think, again, that we had lost these games, but there wasn't anything in the games, if I could remember correctly, and it was a real shock to everybody. Mm-hmm. Especially for me and others, that, you know, it was Paul and Stewie that brought me to the club, so I was a bit gutted with that, because I know how good the training was, how enjoyable training was, how fit I felt, you know, not to put trust in me as well, that I played most weeks. I think there was one spell I was out of the team for about 7-8 games, but after that I probably played the majority of the games, so all the boys were really, really gutted when they left.
Did you get an opportunity to speak to either soon after?
Well, I actually met with them just over, is it Goals? There's the sort of restaurant beside that, and Stewie and Paul got us in there and just thanked all the players for their efforts and just explained what had happened. So it was quite nice that we got to say sort of our thank yous as well to them. We're moving on.
What did you make of the new manager, Steve Patterson, when he came in?
He was different to Stewie and Paul. I wouldn't say I never got on with the new manager. But I think probably part of my reason for leaving as well was, you know, newborn as well. Travelling was getting a bit much, and I probably felt that loyalty to Stewie and Paul as well, that was probably the right time to move on. Mm-hmm.
So had they still been there that season, would you have stuck around, though, do you think?
Definitely, yeah. Yep. Definitely. But it wasn't to be, and these things happen in football. Happens all the time in football, and I think it was just probably right for me to move on. And the move training one night up to Peterhead as well, which we trained at Garth D two nights. But one of the nights was moved up to Peterhead, so the travelling did then become a bit of a sort of stumbling block and that, and probably made the decision a bit easier. But you know, Pelly was great. You know, he didn't stand in my way, and that's when I went back to Montrose.
Was that a disappointing end then to your time at Peterhead?
I think it was a disappointing end, because I felt that Judy and Paul were very harshly sacked. Because I do believe they had something really good going there. I do think we would have got out of that. I wouldn't even say it was a crisis. You know, it was. We did we overachieve the season before? We probably did. But again, you know, what was the expectations? Did the board think we were going to go and win the league that season? No, I think playoffs would have been the aim, and we were still well on track to do that. It was only October then.
Yeah.
So I think the decision for me to leave was probably made a bit easier, but with them moving on as well.
Do you think overachieving the season before was basically the main reason they were relieved of their duties? Because in the end, it wasn't that bad when they were when they got sacked.
Yeah, but potentially. But again, we're being successful. There's always that that pressure on you to replicate that season by season. So the board obviously thought that, you know, it wasn't happening, or we hadn't started the season as well as they'd liked us to. So maybe that's the thinking behind it. But the work they put in behind the scenes as well, Shooty and Pogno, getting in sponsorship, selling hospitality, it was like a full-time job for them, managing Peterhead.
So was there any sort of indication that was coming, or it was just out the blue?
No, just out the blue. Really out the blue. None of the players seen that coming, certainly.
So what would you say was your best moment as a Peterhead player then?
Probably the promotion. The promotion was really good. That season, bar the penalty miss and not going up, was a brilliant season. The Rangers Cup tie was a highlight. But I think one of the main things for me was the togetherness in the team and playing in a team that you probably felt really confident in going winning games of football. And the laughs and that we had as well. I remember that Andy Gibson was in as a coach as well. And he stole one of a pair of my new boots, a pair of my Copas, one pre-season. And we were at Garth D. So I was like, he stole my boots. And I'd marked them. And he was adamant, he never had them. And he says, I'll go down to the police station for you and that, see if they've landed in. We'll just try to take the piss out of this. So I was like, they are my boots. So I've took them back. And his works van was outside. And I've let all the tyres down on his work van at Garth D. So we finished training and he's came in. And Linney was a bit of a joker back then, Bobby Lynn, and he thought it was Linney, and he's chased him all over this place, and I'm just sitting there like, oh no, I've maybe went a bit too far here. But there was loads of things like that went on, and the laughs that we had, it was great, especially with travelling, because we used to get on the bus in Aberdeen, travel up to Valmoor. Mark Perry would have the card school for the boys in that as well. Obviously the away games, I spoke about that with the drinks after your wins and the karaoke and all these things. So that was the memories I'll take from Peterhead as well. And the supporters were great too. Really good support at Peterhead. And I had a good relationship with, there was an older guy who used to go down and speak to that. It's terrible, I forget his name now, but he wrote me a lovely letter when I left Peterhead as well, just thanking me and things like that. So these are all the things that you remember about the club.
It was the karaoke kingdom.
Well, there was a few. Boogie Cameron was decent. I like to reach in myself as well. There was a few that were murdered as well, mind you.
I can imagine.
great memories. Great memories. And as I say, a club at the time that were probably way ahead of their years in terms of what other clubs were doing with hospitality, the way they looked after players. You know, at Christmas, they used to put on a dance for the players and wives and things like that as well. So end of season dues, but just looked after really, really well from the club.
You had another 2 years at Montrose after that, and then you had 3 years at Arbroath, which I think you mentioned earlier, you had a relegation, but then you won the Division 3 title as it was as well. So two different seasons there for you, but obviously winning the title must have been a big highlight for you as well.
Yeah, probably. One of the biggest titles in my career, winning the league titles. As I've said, it's, you know, if you go through your career without any winning any league titles or trophies, and but again, I was the team at Arbroath. I remember I think we'd been beat our first maybe three or four games. We'd been beat all our pre-season games. So you're thinking, here we go, we've been relegated. We've been beat our pre-season games, were first two or three games. I was injured as well at the start. And I think the penny maybe never dropped, because we played Montrose away and we got beat 3-0. And I remember Paul Sheehan's team talking, it was like, no, we'll go and play, and thinking, I'm thinking, I've played in a lot of these derbies, Montrose, Arbroath, and it's, at times you're not going to get to play football. And got beat 3-0, and I think after that, but then just we were flying. We went on a great run. And I think the players that were there from the season before were really determined to go and win the league that year. And it was the first ever league title that Arbroath won, so it was even more special as well. But again, great relationship with the supporters at Arbroath. Great team spirit, a very good team, a lot of good players in that as well. So it was great. And we were over at Tutties after that, and Carol was just saying, like, just go and help yourself behind the bar.
You mentioned the teammates there and things like that. Is that one of the big things that you would look for in terms of the players that you play for or play with, I should say? Is that kind of togetherness?
Yeah, because I think at a part-time level, you're working all day, and then when you go to train, you want to go and enjoy your training. And you've got to work hard, obviously. There's got to be the serious side to it that you're working on, but you've got to really go and enjoy it as well. And if you've got a good group of boys there, a good management team, good relationships with everybody, that's the main thing. And winning helps, obviously.
So you leave for Arbroath, you go to the juniors, you're brought for a while, and moving to management brought you as well. So was that a transition that you'd been looking to make?
No, I wasn't. I was probably kidding myself on when I went to Broughty, because I'd played, I think, 7 games at Forfar in 2 years just due to my knee injury and my operation. And I was playing in games and my knees were swelling up, and I was nowhere near it. And when the manager left, I was asked to take caretaker charge for the first few weeks. And then as it evolved, I really enjoyed it. And then Gordon Duker, who was the chairman of the club, asked me if I'd like to take the job. And it kind of happened like that. I was fortunate enough to get in Ray Farningham as my assistant manager, who was my coach at Dundee for all the years. Great experience to have in. And Tony McCauley came in as well as a coach. And I think I was there for nearly 3 years at Broughty. Did I make a lot of mistakes as a young manager there? Of course I did. Made loads of mistakes. But would I change it? No, I wouldn't, because at the time I felt I was making the right decisions. So that was a good grounding, and I got a good taste for the sort of management side of it. Takes over your life when you're a manager. You're never off the phone and organising things, and especially at Broughty when we had a small committee, you were kind of running about doing the majority of things, doing team lines, sweeping out the changing rooms, putting out corner flags, sorting the kit. Not that you ever thought you were bigger than that, but that's what you had to do. So that was a good grounding in management, and I felt it was quite successful in the 3 years I was there. Got promoted to the Super League, maintained our position in that Super League at the time. We had teams like Kelty, Bonnyriggs, Linlithgow's, Bowness's, and we won a local cup, so it was great. And good players to work with as well. And Stuart Peattie, actually, when Ray Farningham left, Stuart Peattie came as my assistant at Broughty as well. Then he got the Montrose job. Asked me to go in as his assistant at Montrose, and I'd initially agreed, and then I had to think about it and said, no, I've got a 3-year plan at Broughty, I want to carry that out. And hindsight was a silly, probably, when you look at Montrose now, they're absolutely flying, and what a job he's done at Montrose, absolutely brilliant. But another club that, when I played there, it's night and day compared to off the pitch now with what they're doing behind the scenes there at Montrose. But as I say, no regrets. Made loads of mistakes, but no regrets, because at the time I was doing the right things, I was making the right decisions.
Did you take aspects of the managers you worked under? You mentioned John Sheehan, Dick Carbone, and Stuart. Did you take aspects of what you learned under them into your style, yeah, if you like?
I think you always want to put your own stamp on things, but there is obviously certain aspects that you take from different managers. I mean, I think Dick Campbell's management skills are second to none. Ian Stuart, the way that his training sessions go, it's absolutely brilliant. It's enjoyable. And when you're part-time, you've only got 4 hours on the training pitch with players a week, so you've got to sort of cram everything into the 4 hours. So, yeah, I definitely took wee bits and pieces from different managers that I played under.
So what time did you all the way up to Elgin then?
I'd left Broughty, and I was doing a bit of scouting for Stuart Peattie, sort of watching opposition for him. And then I got a message out of the blue from Gavin Price, to say that he'd got the manager's job. He'd been looking for an assistant. He'd heard good things about me. I think he'd spoke to Jim Weir. Would he be wanting to meet up for a coffee and a chat? So, you know, when I went and met Gav, because I never knew Gav in football, so no, Gav played in Holland for a long part of his career. He spoke to me about, you know, what the aspirations were for the club, the way that he plays, you know. Not only someone, obviously, was travelling, but I felt it was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down, especially after I never went to Montrose, obviously with Stuart. So, yep, I went up there, and my first game there was against Peterhead, and we got beat 7-0. And I'm thinking, oh, what have I let myself in for here?
A baptism in a fire, eh?
Yeah, it was never a 7-0 game, by the way.
Did you find it difficult being the right hand man then, from being the main one?
Definitely not, because I see how much. I'm not saying that I never done a lot of work as an assistant, but I've seen how much work that Gavin puts into it. It's like a full time job. But I really enjoyed the aspect of, you know, analysing opponents, you know, clipping opponents for our players to watch, growing as a coach, you know, working with senior players. Myself and Gavin had a brilliant relationship. Probably blossomed as the years went on, and we got our sort of identified roles for what we were doing. And, you know, we're probably quite successful in terms of, because I think for me, Elgin's probably the hardest part-time club to manage, to entice players to come into. I mean, in a season, we'd only train maybe 4 or 5 times as a full squad, because your south-based players would train down the road. Obviously, your north-based players would train together. And then you'd meet up on a Saturday, so it was really, really difficult. And Gav's still doing a good job. You know, I know a lot of supporters might not be too happy with finishing 7th, I think they're going to finish, 8th maybe they're going to finish, but it's a very, very difficult job up there. But loved it as well. Great club, great people involved, worked with some really good players, obviously Andy McDonald, who's at Peterhead just now, and David Wilson, yeah. Good players. Really like Andy McDonald, I think the way we played, like to get the ball down from the back and play, he's a fantastic centre-half, a good player. Reminds me of Ross Graham, actually, that we got on loan from Dundee United. Not very comfortable on the ball, but good defender as well.
Yeah, Andy likes to block his feet anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And David Wilson, who played, I think he played well over 50 games for Elgin. Probably should have played a bit more. And you'll feel he was probably harshly treated with some games, because when he came in and played, he never let us down, certainly. No, it was a great club, but I just got to a point again that the 260-mile round trip for training and games, it was just getting too much. And it was just getting on top of me, obviously, with work and different things like that. Gutted to leave. You know, when I had to tell the players, I was really emotional. When I had to tell the players I was leaving, because, again, I had a great relationship with all the players, good relationship with the board and fans and that as well. So I just couldn't do the travelling anymore. It was really difficult, you know. You get to that bypass. I mean, when the bypass opened, it was a godsend, but then you're like, another 1.5 hours from here.
I know.
And when you're travelling with boys like you and Spark and Kane Hessler, it's not the rolling conversation you could have for that hour and, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 2:45 getting up for training, and you're getting home a bit quicker, maybe 2:10, 2:15, but it was difficult. No, that was nearly 4 years that I'd done it, but no, always thank Gavin for giving me that opportunity to go in as an assistant manager at that level and putting the trust in me when he never knew me. And I'd like to think we'd hopefully work together again in the future at some point.
So I say, obviously that's been, what, just over a year, so I think it was, you were said at the beginning, so are you looking to get back into that kind of capacity again, or where are you at in your life?
I think that was October, I think, end of October, because I gave Gavin a month to say, look, well, let's get a good transition for the new assistant coming in. I'll stay there. I coached with Stevie Campbell at his academy. I'd done that anyway 3 nights a week. But what I'm doing now is we'll have elite sessions on a Saturday morning where we work towards the curriculum. So I'm working there 9 o'clock till 1 every Saturday. So that's kind of keeping my eye in. Again, learning from Stevie. Fantastic coach. Obviously, he's brought through players like Brian Gold, Stuart Armstrong, Johnny Russell when he was at Dundee United, you know. the pedigree of player that you've brought through is unbelievable. And just watching and learning from him in the sessions, it's great, and it keeps my eye in. Definitely want to get back involved in the senior game at some point. But again, it's got to be right for me. It's got to be right for the family. Because I think work-life balance is good just now. But again, you've always got that itch to get back. And as I said, right back at the start, it's, you know, you're in IKEA at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. You're thinking, what am I doing here? Or you're up watching games and, you know, getting that buzz back for it. But hopefully something does come up soon. You know, I'm certainly not pushing for it. If something comes up, great. But there will be a point that I will be desperate to get back in. But I think it's got to be local, because I couldn't have gone do that travelling again.
Are you keeping your sort of ear to the ground? Are you keeping an eye on what's going on when about you then? Are you keeping your name out there?
Not really. No, I mean, you never like. I'm not probably somebody that's like, I hope they lose their job so I can maybe get a chance to get in there. Not at all. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing with Stevie just now on a Saturday. I've got a bit more time with the family, which I've never had on a Saturday as well, and not travelling these nights. But it probably will get to a point that I want to get back in. But as I say, I'm not throwing my name about here, throwing my name about there. Because I'm still quite young, just about to turn 41, well, youngish. You know, I've had a decent sort of grounding with my manager brought in, having the sort of 3.5, nearly 4 years at Elgin as well. So yeah, if something comes up, I'll definitely have to look at it.
You look back at your playing career then, how would you look at back on it? Would you look up fondly, or how would you sum it up?
It's not until you're out of it that, you know, you probably have regrets and things like that, but, you know, I think everybody finds a level, and mine was obviously a part-time level, but I think I played nearly, 375 senior games, and I loved every minute of it, but it's over in a flash. I'm quite lucky to go and play at a decent level, I would say, play at a decent level and play under some great coaches, meet a lot of friends through football, play with some great players, build the relationships with the supporters. I loved it. Chipped in with a few goals as well. I think 39 of them were 25 yarders. No chance. But yeah, loved every minute of it, and I miss it every day. You just wish you could still be playing, and it's, you know, I say that to players, play every game like it's your last, because it doesn't last very long. So yeah, and I'd like to think that, you know, supporters of clubs would watch me play and say, well, I gave my all. You know, I wasn't the most skillful of players in the world, but I knocked my pan in everywhere I went, and I'll let supporters make their mind up on that. But loved it, and to have Peterhead a part of my career for 2.5 years was excellent as well, and a lot of good memories. But as I say, that penalty miss still sticks in my throat, which isn't nice.
No, it's a sad way to kind of finish. But as you said, I think overall, probably it's one of the. It's a good career you've probably had, and as you said, the successes that you've had in terms of what you did at Arbroath and promotion at Peterhead, it's probably a good career to look back on.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, and to have a league winners medal as well, it's always nice to look back on that. And as I say, it's over in a flash, but you always remember the good times. But it's, you know, I keep going back to that penalty miss. That's the horrible thing about it.
Right, before you mention it anymore, we'll thank you for coming on, because I think I can see it in your eyes that you're still gutted about that penalty. But as I said, it's a pleasure to have you. Hopefully, it wasn't as too taxing as you thought it might have been.
Oh, as I say, it was a bit. It's the first time I've done something like this, so it was a wee bit. No nerve wracking, but kind of going into the unknown. I've obviously listened to a couple of the podcasts, which I really enjoyed. But I just want to say thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and potentially hopefully get up to get on the comms with you up at one of the games as well, if we get that organised and take it from there.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you in person, or say in person, but over Zoom, it's always good. It's
this
good
is
to have you on.
This is how we do it,
but it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for your time, and good luck with whatever it is you continue to do.
Appreciate that, thank you.
Do hope you've enjoyed that one, and a big thank you once again to Keith Gibson for joining us. We'll be back again next time with another special guest. I do hope you can join us again for that. Until next time, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.